Hi, Ken. Hi, Jeremy. Thanks for having me back on the podcast. For the audience, my name is Rory Spiegel. I am an attending emergency physician at the University of Maryland Medical Center in Baltimore, Maryland. I write the EM Nerd blog and am one of the co-hosts of the Annals of Emergency Medicine podcast. Now, there are a number of methodological issues with the Merrick et al. Paper, and I am sure you and the other guest skeptics will discuss the majority of them. But the one I want to focus on is the lack of randomization. And to really discuss the importance of randomization, we have to discuss error. Error is essentially a deviation of the observed results from the underlying truth. Imagine we would want to study this sepsis cocktail. In the ideal theoretical world, we would want to examine every single septic patient in the entire world over all of time who were admitted to the ICU for sepsis. We would give half of them vitamin C, thiamine, and hydrocortisone, and the other half placebo. Only then would we know the true efficacy of this cocktail. And since this is logistically impossible, we have to use some form of sampling. Any sample we examine, we're assuming it represents the larger population. And as such, we can extrapolate our findings to this greater population we see in the emergency department or the ICU. If the two cohorts deviate from the greater population, or more importantly, from each other, this can skew the findings and make the sepsis cocktail appear more or less efficacious. Our sample can deviate from the greater population in two ways. The first is statistical chance or random error. Simply by selection, one cohort can be drastically different from the other. Obviously, the closer our samples get to the greater population, the more accurately they will represent it and the less likely sampling error will occur. We have statistical methods that can quantify sampling error. The almighty p-value is essentially a statistical tool to quantify the potential for random error in any cohort. A p-value of 0.05 means the likelihood of the observed results occurring simply because of random errors in sampling is 5% or less. The second form of error is far more subtle and difficult to quantify. This is non-random error or bias. Biases are methodological flaws in the study design that cause the study results to deviate from the underlying truth. In the case of bias, we have no statistical means to quantify their effects. And the only way to control for bias is through randomization. The concept is that any variables that could potentially confound the results are distributed equally between the two groups. Now, there are some statistical methods which attempt to control for these confounders. For example, Merrick et al. Used a method known as propensity matching. Essentially, it involves identifying variables that predict the use of the treatment in question, in this case, vitamin C, thiamine, and hydrocortisone. Then, using these predictors, patients who received the sepsis cocktail were matched with controls with similar propensity scores. The hope is this technique will create similar samples and decrease the degree of non-random error. While these techniques will create more balanced groups, they are poor replacement for simple randomization. We know that the results of observational cohorts like this will often differ drastically from those observed when the more robust RCT is performed. So, in closing, I think we would all love if this sepsis cocktail turned out to be truly the cure for sepsis. But given the methodological limitations of this trial, such a conclusion is impossible to make. Thanks, Ken.